The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, November 2018 edition. So last week we went over just two main topics, and it was, you know, involving voting, voting at the polls, black women rising, and why we must vote. So, and then we briefly discussed a little bit from the money and power section of the Future 10 Black Women in Tech. And so we're going to go ahead and cover that last week. And I did give you a little snippet of the Black Women in Tech. So forget about those depressing stats. These sisters prove that there's room for us at the table. It's no secret that the technology industry has a diversity problem. So in 2016, black folks made up 11.9% of all U.S. workers, yet held only 7.9% of jobs in computer and math occupations, says the Brookings Institution. Black women in particular have been underrepresented, holding only 3% of tech jobs in 2015. According to the National Care for Women and Information Technology, despite those numbers, it's apparent that sisters are undaunted by this challenge. Instead of worrying about grim statistics, they are breaking barriers and bridging the gap in the tech world, whether through coding, gaming, or entrepreneurship. We're going to meet 10 ladies making their mark who share why other black women may want to follow in their footsteps. Catherine Finney. She is the founder and CEO of Digital Undivided. Through Digital Undivided, Finney works to give black women tech founders the training, connections, and funding they need to succeed. The company's 2018 Project Diane report, a biennial demographic survey, reveals that the number of black women or black woman-led startups has more than doubled since 2016. As sisters continue to embrace entrepreneurship, Finney wants us to know that a million-dollar business isn't out of reach. I would really encourage black women to think bigger. To many of us, $1 million is a lot, but to some investors, $1 million isn't much. At Catherine Finney. Regina Gwynn, she's the co-founder and CEO of Tresenor, co-founder of Black Women Talk Tech. Americans spend more than $12 billion a year online on beauty and personal care products. Gwynn is going after her piece of the pie with Tresenor, a digital platform that connects consumers with mobile natural hairstylists. The level of interest exhibited in Black Women Tech or Talk Tech, a collective of black female tech founders, has convinced Gwynn that one of us could be the next Mark Zuckerberg. We're only scratching the surface of raising up and supporting the next billion-dollar founder, who we believe will be a woman who looks like us, she says. And her contact is at Tresenor. That's at Tresenoire. Number three, Camille Hurst. She's the co-founder and CEO of Kit Head of Product. Patreon. So Hurst held positions at Google and Apple before successfully raising $2.5 million to start Kit. It's an online community for creatives. Earlier this year, she agreed to sell Kit to Patreon, a membership platform for creatives, for an undisclosed amount. Those of us who have been in tech for a while have been doing our best to break down barriers. Hopefully the next or the work that we're doing will make it even better for the next generation, says Hurst. And her contact is at Chameleon Z. That's at CamilionZ. The next one on the list is Esso Igodaro. And I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She's the co-founder of Cosign, co-founder of Black Women Talk Tech. You don't need a tech background to succeed in the field, says Igodaro. And she should know, having left a career in financial services and banking to help launch Cosign. It's an app that makes it easier for people to shop for products using social media. Create something that makes your life easier, leveraging some type of technology, says Igodaro. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, the technology touches you. And her contact is at Sosa Speak. That's at S-O-S-A Speaks. Jasmine Lawrence. She's a technical program manager for Facebook. After earning a bachelor's degree in computer science, Lawrence worked at Microsoft and SoftBank Robotics America before landing at Facebook. In an increasingly digital world, Black women are positioned to be the innovators for our community, she says. As a Black woman, you have a firsthand experience of what Black women want and what they need, she says. Tech companies need us to be a part of the process that's building the products we're going to use in our lives. And her contact information is at Eden. As an E-D-E-N S Jasmine. And that's at Eden S Jasmine. And let's see, the next one on the list is Sierra McDonald. She is a senior programming manager for Microsoft. Who says gaming is just for guys? McDonald has made a name for herself as a game developer in Microsoft's Xbox Advanced Technology Group. And she maintains there's room for other Black women to enter that space. For those whose passion is in art, but who are still interested in pursuing a career in tech, games are a great place to make meaningful contributions to a larger vision or to build your own game that brings your unique point of view to life in a highly interactive medium, she says. The industry is thriving with more creators and more players joining every day, and there are ample untapped and even undiscovered opportunities for creative, technological, and professional growth. And her contact is at Microsoft. Amanda Spann, she's the founder of Happy, with two I's at the end. That's H-A-P-P-I-I. After developing a number of apps, including AfriDate, a dating app for Black singles, Spann launched Happy to help non-technical entrepreneurs do the same. She was also a co-founder of Blurdology, a social enterprise that organized the first hackathon geared toward African Americans. There are a lot of people working behind the scenes to raise funds right now to invest in minority entrepreneurs. And I think there are a lot of people on the ground who are doing the work, not just to get these tech entrepreneurs access to capital, but also to educate them and to provide them with guidance and mentorship. And her contact is at Amanda Spann, with two N's at the end. And that's at Amanda, S-P-A-N-N. Camilla Taylor, she's an app developer. So after working as a senior software engineer at LinkedIn, Taylor now divides her times between assisting startups and develop apps and developing her own. She also contributed to the book Women in Tech. I'm meeting more Black women who are in leadership positions. When I moved to Silicon Valley in 2012, I probably would have struggled to meet one Black woman who was doing any of those things. And now I can easily name dozens. That gives me a lot of hope. And her contact is at Camilla. That's at K-A-M-I-L-A-H. Lauren Washington. She's the co-founder of Keep Up, co-founder of Black Women Talk Tech. From her vantage point in online Marketing and Advertising, Washington watched how overwhelmingly navigating the social media landscape can be. So she created the Keep Up app to keep companies and individuals manage it, or to help companies and individuals manage it. She is one of the three co-founders of Black Women Talk Tech, an organization that supports the next generation of tech founders in our community. There are Black women who have raised less than $100,000 and are making millions of dollars in revenue, she says. With the push for diversity in tech, people are coming together in order to build each other up, so there's no better time. At BW Talk Tech is her contact. And last but not least, Tashana Wilson. She's a computer science student. So although she's a junior at Florida A&M University, Wilson is already shaking things up in the industry. This year, she won a $10,000 scholarship as part of the McDonald's 365 Black Awards for her tech projects, which include a self-driving, voice-activated drone and an artificial intelligence program that would detect credit card fraud. I think the visibility of Black women will persuade more young Black girls to look at technology, says Wilson. As they see more of us, they'll be more encouraged to pursue it. And her contact is at Shauna813, and that's at Shaun813_. So moving on, we're going to stay in money and power, but we're going to talk about careers. Dream jobs. So by choosing fields we rarely enter, these three Black women may just inspire the next generation. There's something about exhilarating about a Black woman who dares to dream. That's the consensus of the ladies we've interviewed here, an architect, a marine biologist, and conservationist and an entertainment lawyer. Given how underrepresented we are in academia, STEM, and law, these shining stars stand as a testament of what's possible. We're going to read on to find out why they love their jobs and what opportunities exist for other women of color. Zena Howard, her dream job, architect. So anyone who visits the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C., knows two things. The awe-inspiring nearly 400,000 square foot space is an awesome place to look at and take a good pair of walking shoes. What you may not realize is Zena Howard, FAIA principal and managing director at Perkins and Wheels in Durham, North Carolina, was the senior manager on the project. It's the first time that the African American story has been told in a holistic manner, says Howard, age 52, an award-winning architect and educator. So when the architecture bug bit, I've always liked to draw and sketch, and my parents nurtured any desires their five kids had, she says. However, when she was growing up, she wasn't aware of role models in her area of interest. Watching the 1970s sitcom The Brady Bunch clarified things. The lead character, Mike Brady, wasn't my ideal mentor, but it was the first time I had heard the term architect and saw one, she says. What her role entails. So her firm designs projects for cultural, science, and healthcare institutions, among others, and Howard travels the country, overseeing plans. One assignment is the construction of an outdoor museum in California. I'm all over, but on Mondays, I'm with leadership team reviewing artist proposals and finalizing material samples for our builds, says Howard. Another question that Essence asked her was why this industry needs us. So there are currently just over 400 licensed African-American women architects in the country. Howard is committed to mentoring women of color because they bring a perspective that's lacking in the area. Some bring the experience of dealing with housing inequities or being the dominant parent in a household, she says. When you understand how the built environment impacts your social existence and quality of life, you can make a difference, and I love that. Ayana Elizabeth Johnson. Her dream job was to become a marine biologist and conservationist. At 5 years old, Ayana Elizabeth Johnson, PhD, fell in love with the ocean. On a vacation in Key West, Florida, my family went to an aquarium with a touch tank, says Johnson, age 38. She's the founder and CEO of Ocean Collective in Brooklyn. I held a starfish with hundreds of tiny little tube feet and was blown away. Johnson and her team are busy engaging with coastal communities and tackling plastic pollution issues. Ocean Collective provides nonprofits and companies with new ideas on policy and commerce. How she pried open a door. As an undergrad, Johnson took a graduate level course in environmental economics where she met an environmental protection agency official who was also recruiting. She signed up to interview with him and got the job. That opened the door for graduate school because at the time, although I didn't have field experience, I had a background in policy. So I applied for an interdisciplinary program to do marine science and policy. Her advice to Black women interested in the profession. Just do it, she says. When it comes to disasters from Hurricane Sandy affecting poor communities of color along New York City's coastline to Caribbean islands needing access to healthy seafood after a storm, we need to have people at the table who understand the science. What we don't know about the ocean. More than half of the oxygen we breathe comes from the ocean and the plants that live there, Johnson says. I enjoy that I use every part of my brain to think about science, economics, and policy, and I get to be creative and do work that protects coastal communities. Alexis Tucker, her dream job was to become an entertainment lawyer. So for as long as she could remember, Alexis Tucker, age 32, counsel for the original series at Netflix in New York City, has wanted to be an entertainment lawyer. I've always loved television and film, and the idea that media could be used to connect diverse groups of people around the world spoke to me. Tucker says, at Netflix, she negotiates original series contracts for binge-worthy shows such as Glow and Stranger Things, and production deals with talents like our favorite showrunner, Shonda Rhimes. I work with our business team to draft underlying rights agreements and the contracts for actors, showrunners, writers, producers, and directors, she adds. Why entertainment law appealed to her? When she was young, Tucker had a best friend whose dad was an entertainment lawyer. He was like a second father, she says, and even though I didn't know exactly what he did, I knew part of his practice entailed representing famous musicians. She enjoyed meeting his clients and attending cool concerts. Her parents also encouraged her love of the popular culture. We would watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saved by the Bell, and Family Matters, and analyzed the shows together, she says. How she laid the foundation. At New York University, she co-chaired the IP, also known as Intellectual Property, an entertainment law society which connects lawyers or students and with professors and practicing lawyers. I reached out to every practitioner for advice on breaking into the business, she says. Their reply, spend time at a large corporate firm and learn how to review draft, and negotiate contracts. After law school, Tucker worked at a major firm on mergers and acquisitions, then transitioned to a boutique practice advising clients on film, television, and new media productions. Years later, a lawyer friend introduced her to the head of her current group at Netflix, and the rest is history. Why representation matters. So Tucker mentors young women to show that lawyers come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and backgrounds. Because seeing someone who looks like you doing what you do can make all the difference. So we're going to move on. Looks like that we've actually completed the Money and Power series. And let's move on to The Village is Here. So we're excited to launch Essence Groups United to Serve and Celebrate for Youth. Since our founding, Essence has made it a priority to pour into the next generation of young Black women. That's why we're thrilled to announce Essence Girls United, our new mentoring initiative focused on helping girls 12 through 17 increase their academic potential, self-love, and leadership skills. Essence Girls United embodies our mission to serve Black women deeply, says Essence President Michelle Ebanks. We are committed to the empowerment and celebration of dynamic young women and girls with the goal of inspiring and spotlighting a new generation of world leaders. We will be meeting our girls wherever they are from our regular hashtag Essence Girls United features on the Essence Snapchat channel to school visits to live events, including our day of service each summer in New Orleans. We will also continue to encourage sisters to share their stories and to introduce in our young phenom profiles those who are making an impact. We know the stakes for our youth are high, and we are committed to ensuring that their opportunities are even greater. Black children are punished at higher rates in schools, with Black girls at the greatest risk of being suspended or expelled for nonviolent actions in comparison to girls in other racial groups. And once suspended, young women are more likely to drop out, according to the 2014 report Black Girls Matter pushed out, over-policed and underprotected by the African American Policy Forum and the Center for Intersectionality and Social Policy Studies at Columbia Law School. The good news is our voices can shape a generation. It's not reality shows or pop culture that will play the largest role in the choices our youth make. It's us. Power to Decide, a national organization educating teens on safe sex, points out that trusted adults play a critical role in guiding our girls. We are the village. We are Essence Girls United. Moving on to another section, Essence Picks. Literacy Justice. The midterm elections were last week. That's where we can also get educated with these five tomes from popular personalities to revered scholar to a budding newcomer, millennial mover and shaker. The revolution might not be televised, but you can find in this brave debut from Charlene A. Caruthers in Unapologetic. It's priced at $22.95, and the founding national director of Black Youth Project 100 gives a cheat sheet on activism through a Black queer feminist lens. The Chicago peppers this book with personal stories while outlining strategies for building stronger leaders and getting long overdue equality. Civil Rights Crusader. A riveting account by Black Lives Matter activist and Pod Save the People podcast host D. Ray McKenzie on the other side of Freeman, on the other side of freedom, priced at $25, brims with a timely discussion of race in America, the Baltimore native gained attention during his 2014 social media coverage of police violence in Ferguson, Missouri. We took to the streets as a matter of life and death, he writes, of the city. McKesson, we're taking notes. Cultural commentator, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and the last stand of the angry white man, And that's priced at $26. And this is where it shows that Kevin Powell has come a long way from his days on MTV's The Real World. Now the author of 13 books, Powell shares his point of view on the current state of the country through essays on family, race, politics, gender, and even sports. Political maven. So our country's biggest circus, a.k.a. the White House, leaves many of us scratching our heads weekly. Thank goodness journalist April Ryan can help us make sense of it. She's unafraid to ask the tough questions. In her candid memoir, Under Fire, which is priced at $24.95, she breaks down the dizzying staff changes and policy debates and tells us how she balances covering the landscape as a black woman. History buffs, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you come from. W.E.B. Du Bois's Data Portraits. It's priced at $29.95, edited by Whitney Battle Baptiste and Britt Ruzzard, offers a comprehensive view of issues Black Americans have faced, from land ownership to education. These infographics were presented at the 1900 Paris Exposition. It's interesting to see how things have or have not changed. Again, that is some of the Essence picks for this month. Continuing on with scenes on Focus, Sister Stories. So building on her popular digital platform, well-read black girl, Arlington, Virginia native Glory Adam, age 35, releases an anthology of essays from some of your favorite writers. So Essence asked her, why did you launch Well-Read Black Girl? And Glory's response is, for my 31st birthday, my partner made me a t-shirt that said Well-Read Black Girl. I always have my nose in a book. When I wore the shirt in public, I was surprised at how often people would approach me on the subway or in the grocery store to talk about books. This sparked my interest in creating the Well-Read Black Girl Instagram account and book club. I wanted to build community around our enthusiasm for books. And I'm going to stop here, but we will cover more of this, of the story of the sister stories, next week, because we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.